In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Our theme for these midweek services in Advent has been praying hands. And I didn't bring it up with me here tonight, but I have a little sculpture, a little cast that I keep on my desk of praying hands. It's a very common picture as well as a sculpture or a cast that many of you probably have on your walls or in your homes. It was originally made by an artist by the name of Albrecht Dürer back in the early 1500s. He composed the piece to be put on the front of an altar of a church. The actual piece itself was destroyed by fire, so all we have is this small little sketch that has survived. Regardless, we've been focusing on the theme of how we use our hands this Advent season. We've been talking of our hands as God has given to us to serve our neighbor, the various types of work that we do with them, and we've also talked about how we use our hands in ways we probably shouldn't, like picking our noses or other such things, as our parents might teach us. But now today, we're going to shift just a little bit from the concept of hands to the concept of feet. Because after all, what are hands without feet? How can hands go to serve your neighbor and carry you to your vocation without feet of some sort? Unless, of course, you're like Carol and you have a powerized wheelchair, right? And then that takes you where you need to go. But hands and feet go together. It's the way your dear Lord designed your body. And as you gaze, of course, upon the cross of our Lord, you'll notice that he was nailed not just by his hands, but also by his feet. Psalm 85 says this, "Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky." The faithfulness springing up from the ground is kind of a play on words to the blood of Abel that cries up or out from the ground. You might remember back after Adam and Eve had first sinned against God, they had it so well. They lived in the Garden of Eden. They felt no shame. They had everything that they needed, but the serpent came and deceived both Adam and Eve. They gave in to the temptation and sinned against God, and sin, as we know it, along with death and all the things we struggle with, entered the world. So Adam and Eve were cast out from the garden. Adam was called to, do you know, to do what with his hands? To work the soil. And God said that his working of the soil now would not be easy. There would be much toil and much labor involved. Eve's work as well, as a wife and as a worker, a helpmate of her husband, would be difficult. And not only that, husband and wife now would be at enmity with each other. The wife's desire would be to literally be the husband. And the husband, well, he would lord it over her and say, "By gosh and by golly, woman, I'm the husband, you'll do what I say." Don't try that, guys. That's not how marriage is supposed to work. Regardless, they were cast out from the garden. Childbirth became difficult and painful. Many ladies can attest to that. I know nothing of that. I just watched my wife get drugs, held her hand. But in the midst of that, we have this whole concept now of hands and feet doing work. And so to Adam and Eve were given at first two sons, Cain and Abel. One of them tended flocks, animals. The other one took care of the ground, raising all sorts of manner of crops. Well, long story short, one brother, Cain especially, became jealous of the other, especially when it came time for them to offer their gifts to God, to make an offering of what they had given. You see, God had called them, and still calls us today, to give what's called first fruits, to give a portion of what we have been given, of what we have earned, back to him. But, of course, that's not supposed to be done out of fear of God or out of law. It's supposed to be done out of love for God, out of faith. For God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're not going to give a gift cheerfully, I would say to you, don't give it. One should not give under compulsion, whether it's to God or to your neighbor. You should give because you want to give, you desire to help, and you have the ability to do so. Long story short, Abel offers up his gift to God, and God looks with favor down upon Abel's sacrifice, for Abel had given his gift out of faith, out of love. Cain, however, had not. He gave his gift just because, well, that's what you're supposed to do. And God, we're told, had no favor for Cain's offering, for the sacrifices he brought forward. And so Cain got angry, and how did he carry out his anger at God? He killed his brother. Do you see what hands can do? Do you see what hands and where feet can lead us when we start to get things twisted? When we fail to neglect not only what God has taught us, but what his word says, this is sin, this is not. This is salvation, this is not. And so Cain got it all twisted, and he killed his brother. And thus, Scripture says, the blood of Abel cries out for the ground for something better. But now is prophesied throughout Scripture that there will be faithfulness that springs up from the ground. In the midst of the sin of Cain, and in the midst of your sin, of the way you haven't always used your hands very well, of how perhaps you have given gifts, not out of simple love and care, but because you felt you had to, because you haven't always been cheerful about it, because you've used your hands to do other things. I'm not sure picking your nose is a sin. I got to talk with my mom about that, but it seems a little rude. But regardless, we sin. We sin much. And our feet, they're no different. They have let us walk down certain paths. The old adage, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you too? You ever had your parents ask you that one? When your friends decided to do something really kind of silly and stupid and you decided to do it, you're nodding your head. We've all been there. Whether it's because of peer pressure or whether that's because that's just what everybody is doing, our feet have led us astray. But you see, into your life and mine of hands and feet, and going all the way back to when hands and feet first left the Garden of Eden, there comes a certain pair of hands and feet. Faithfulness that springs up from the ground. Righteousness that looks down from the sky. And the promise now for you is in the midst of your sin and mine, and especially in the midst of our repentance, of our recognition that we have sinned with hands and with where we have walked, that the Lord gives us now what is good, that even our land will yield its increase. And so even in the midst of sin, crops continue to grow. Even in the midst of warfare, sedition, rebellion, the problems of this life, babies continue to be born, families continue to grow, and our land yields its increase. Which brings us to Psalm 85, verse 13. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. You see, righteousness has gone before. Righteousness has come down to you in the person and work of Jesus Christ, your Savior. True righteousness. Righteousness because he is the Son of God, and he is human at the same time. He who has been sent down from heaven now to cleanse you with his own blood. The blood of Abel crying out from the ground has now been covered by the very blood of Christ. Thus God says, I need not your sacrifices of bulls and burnt offerings. I have a thousand cattle on 1,000 hills, God says. And what does he require of you? Simple faith. Simple trust that he is a God who has come with clean hands and feet. That which Jesus allowed his very hands and feet to be nailed to a cross, immobilized, not allowed to pray, not allowed to walk. And Jesus did that so that you would be now free, forgiven, to use your hands in prayer, to use your hands in service to your neighbor, to use your feet to carry you places that the Lord desires you to go. As such, you and I walk in his footsteps. because he has covered us with his righteousness in the waters of baptism and with his word. This Advent, as we prepare for his coming at Christmas as a baby in the manger, as we remember the way he comes to us through his word that is read and preached, his word that comes, his very flesh and blood in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, and as we remember that one day he will return, may his hands and his feet be not only what we meditate on, but may we recognize that it is his hands and feet through us that also serve our neighbor and serve in our very life. God grant us this faith and trust. In the name of Jesus, amen.